You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hello, everybody. It's me, Jason McIntyre, joined by the esteemed Rob Parker. We are in for Dan Patrick and the Danettes here on Friday, November 27th. Black Friday, Rob. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Jason. Happy Thanksgiving. Hope you and the family had a great time together. I know we weren't having big get-togethers, but family's still good, right? And food? Did you have a good one?
No doubt about it, Rob. We've been quarantining with several other families locally, and we got together for a little healthy, socially distanced Thanksgiving. A lot of fun. Too bad the football stunk.
I'm glad you said that, because that's one of my things. Everybody's always ranting and raving how great the NFL is. The football was horrible yesterday to watch. And every NFL game is not great. And we saw that yesterday. But, Jason, you did say today's Black Friday. I did have to tell you that every Friday is Black Friday for me. I just want you to know.
That's okay? Right. I see. I follow you on social media. So I see all you shopping up, buying your Jordans, and flossing with all your big, big money and having fun and spending it. I'm not as spendthrift as you are, Rob. So I did.
Well, you're married. You got a couple of kids. You know, I'm at a different point in life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got the good life. You got the good life with the family and the kids. I'm just bachelor trying to find some time in Vegas, or you know what I mean, trying to get a little enjoyment out of a pair of sneakers or something. but I must admit, you know, obviously people aren't shopping the way that they used to. You know, like this used to be crazy. People used to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, Jason, you know, and head to the stores, right? Obviously that's not the case. So I don't even know if I'm shopping at all today.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting.
On the drive in here to the studio, I drove by a GameStop video game shop.
People outside?
That was the only place I saw where there was a huddle. There was like 15 people. I guess they're trying to get the new PlayStation 5 or whatever it is.
Right.
Video games for their kids. But here's my deal. I just get everything online now, don't you?
Most of the stuff. I still enjoy. I do like going out to the mall once in a while just to walk around. Don't you like to... You know what I mean? I get it. It's so convenient. The only thing is buying clothes sometimes, you know, they look nice in the, the display or whatever or online. And then you get it at home and then to try it on. They don't always fit. So sometimes I do like to buy clothes when I need to try it on and see what it looks like. Everything else?
Yeah, online. I do a lot of my gambling online as well. And I was ready to fire on the Baltimore Ravens. Yes, I was going to back them against Pittsburgh last night. I know that sounds crazy. Who's betting on Baltimore right now?
I would have bet on Baltimore as well. I agree with you, because their season's on the brink. Jason, they really needed to win that game. That's how big it is, because right now, if the playoffs started, they're on the outside looking in, you know? So they needed that win, but obviously the big news, of course, is
Lamar Jackson.
Lamar
Unbelievable.
Jackson.
I mean, what a fall. What a precipitous fall this has been for Lamar. And, Rob, you know I do my daily podcast, Straight Fire. And about 4 weeks into the season, I noticed something was off with Lamar. And I started, you know, taking some shots. I'm like, this guy's not throwing for 200 yards. Defenses are starting to catch up with him. And I sort of compared what happened to him with Colin Kaepernick. If you remember, they have the same offensive coordinator, Greg Roman. And Kaepernick, the first time he came in San Fran with Jim Harbaugh as the head coach, he was lights out. They went all the way to the Super Bowl.
And don't forget this.
Yeah.
Ron Jaworski, you know, the former NFL quarterback and analyst, went gaga over Colin Kaepernick in the beginning. If you remember, Jason, he said he could be the greatest quarterback ever. That's how, you know what I mean? He came out of the box and was almost unstoppable. But people get film on you, and then they adjust. And then the big thing is always you have to readjust. You know what I mean? Like, after they kind of figure you out a little bit and what your tendencies are, that doesn't mean it happens to everybody. This is not just about Lamar Jackson. This is about everybody. And you try to figure out what can we do to alter the guy.
I don't know that it's about everybybody.
I'm just saying.
Peyton Manning you couldn't adjust for. Nobody's adjusted for Patrick Mahomes yet.
No, but I'm saying, but you know what he does. And all I'm saying is you try. I'm not saying you're going to be successful.
Right.
It's like Mariano Rivera when he pitched for the Yankees. The cutter's coming. And guess what? Nobody can hit the cutter, right, his whole career.
Yeah.
So don't get me wrong.
I've watched Lamar, and I don't want to say he's got happy feet in the pocket, and I'm not fully blaming Lamar, but when you look at his receiving core, it's laughable. And Rob, I mean, seriously, let's look at the other teams with quarterbacks on their rookie deal. Josh Allen, Buffalo Bills. What do they do? We got to go get him some help. Let's get Stephon Diggs. What do the Cardinals do? We got to get Kyler Murray some help. Let's get him Hopkins. What has Baltimore done? They went out and got Dez Bryant, a guy who's been on his sofa like you and I for the last 2 years on Sundays, watching football. That's not doing anything for Lamar Jackson.
Yeah,
get the man some help.
But Lamar's not that kind of a passer, so receivers like that, why would they want to come and play? That's not what the game is. When he's doing what he's doing, which was being a unanimous MVP last year, it wasn't about long passes. It was about him running, setting up. And then if you remember, go back to last year, a great game for him would be like 15 for 19, you know, 210 yards. You know, like it wasn't like he was throwing for 400 yards or anything. He was hard to stop, and it wasn't about the receivers. It was about him, and that's why I think it's harder to go out and get a big-time receiver when this guy's not slinging the ball all over the place.
True, but if you ask Stephon Diggs, hey, man, do you want to go to Buffalo and play with Josh Allen? It's like, why would I want to do that? I'm with Kirk Cousins, but he had a falling out with Cousins, if you remember, on the sideline, very unhappy. But I don't totally blame it on Lamar Jackson. I also blame the offensive coordinator, Roman, who has not adjusted. And, Rob, last year they would throw to set up the run. And then the second half, they would just run over teams with that offense. And Lamar passed for over 3,000 yards last year. I think he was, if not the second player in NFL history, 3,000 yards passing, 1,000 yards rushing.
Well, yeah. I mean, the rushing part.
Kyler Murray's going to go for 4,000 this year passing and 1,000 rushing. And, I asked this question to some people. Like, who would you rather have going forward the next 3 years? Kyler Murray or Lamar Jackson? It's easy, right?
Well, that's easy to say now because of where everybody is. But Kyler Murray's record, despite the numbers you're talking about, I mean, they're a Hail Mary away from being a 500 team. Let's just be honest, Jason. So he can pile up the numbers without that win in Buffalo, right? Because they couldn't even follow that win up against Seattle. All I'm saying is, if you take away that Hail Murray, I don't know if you're saying that. Because the numbers would be good, but they would be a 500 team.
But I mean, they also play in the toughest division in the NFL.
It is what it is. I get that.
I mean, the Rams twice. Who else they got? Seattle twice. You know, you basically got two Super Bowl contenders there. The 49ers went to the Super Bowl last year. Another beat up this year, totally different. But I'm all in on Kyler Murray.
I hear you. But I'm just saying, let's be honest. I mean, They could be a 500 team despite those numbers and despite Hopkins. That's where they could be.
So where do you think the league goes from here? The game as of now is still on, Ravens Steelers for Sunday.
But I don't see that game being
played. How can they play that game?
I just don't. And if I'm Baltimore and you know, there's a chance that there could be more players, you know, a few more get tested positive, and obviously your quarterback – your season's on the brink. I mean, if I'm Baltimore, I don't want the game to be played.
But here's the problem with the NFL, okay? Pittsburgh currently the best team in the league, undefeated, and they're headed toward maybe home field advantage in the playoffs, and you can't have them play one less game than the Kansas City Chiefs. And where do you make up this game? Because all the bye weeks are done. So,
but this is where the NFL made a mistake. I think coming into the season – the notion that you would have a full season. Baseball went from 162, Jason, to 60, okay? The NBA played less. The NHL played less. The NFL should have worked out a 12-game schedule with some breaks in the schedule. There used to be a 12-game NFL season, so it's not inconceivable, but they needed to leave space so that you could make up games. How did they think that the coronavirus wasn't going to attack the NFL and wasn't going to derail or postpone games? They left no wiggle room. That's the problem. And you're right. So what do you do? Do you have to, at some point, do you have to go, Jason, and go by winning percentage and not having the same amount of games played if you can't get them in? Are you pushing the Super Bowl back to March or April?
No.
Right.
No way.
Okay, so this is what I'm saying. So how do you make it up?
Okay.
And God forbid, if there's another outbreak on a team, what would you do?
Well, you know what you tell them? Hey, this is on you guys. We're not going to penalize the Pittsburgh Steelers for doing their job and avoiding COVID and being healthy, okay? Rob, this is not all that different from a group project in biology in 10th grade, and one guy doesn't want to do any of the work, doesn't want to do anything, he doesn't show up for the meetings, and then he says, oh, put my name on that. Well, no, you didn't do your part. Well, you're not getting credit for this. Pittsburgh Steelers have done their part. They should not be penalized. If I'm the NFL, I say, you know what, Baltimore? Call up some practice squad guys. We're playing this game on Sunday.
But the only problem is I think you're being very hard on teams that are hit by COVID, because some people, Jason, you got to be honest, think they're doing the right thing, and it's not, you know, it's without malice. They're not purposely going out, but if you slip up and touch a doorknob or something where you think you're doing everything else right, you can still catch it. There's a lot of people who have caught it who thought they were following all the protocols. So it's not like you're going out to a bar and you don't have a mask on. If you're doing that kind of stuff, then I get it, you know, and those people should be punished for not following protocol. But you got to be careful not to just paint everybody who gets it and says that they aren't doing what they're supposed to. This is a very contagious thing.
Right. No. Certainly not blaming anybody for getting it. But it's clear some people are doing a better job or trying harder than others.
I agree with that.
I mean, you read the story for sure about the Baltimore Ravens strength and conditioning coach. Okay. Failed to report symptoms. Didn't consistently wear his mask or a tracking device. And they're saying he is the one who could have contributed to all these guys on the Ravens catching COVID. It's tough for me to penalize the Pittsburgh Steelers here and screw them over out of potentially the number one seed. And, Rob, the only issue with pushing the season back, okay, let's say you want to start the playoffs a week later. Well, most teams will sit their starters in week 17, right? You don't want anybody to get hurt right before the playoffs. So then if you sit your starters in your Pittsburgh or KC or whoever in the NFC, and then you have the week off, the bye week, because you're the number one seed, and then you build in another week, you're looking at potentially 3 weeks off between when you last played. And that's a huge disadvantage, not playing football for 3 weeks.
Yes, and also what you factored in is between now and the end of the season, what if there's some more cancellations or post? You know what I mean? Like this is, if everything were to stop right here and now, the way you just put that scenario out, what if there's more and there's other games? Okay, so that's what I'm saying. So that's why.
Yeah, this is a weird one because the Ravens play on Thursday night against Dallas. They set it up, both teams coming off Thanksgiving games. So now the Ravens are at a huge disadvantage in that Thursday game. But at the same time, you can't push Sunday's game to Monday. Mostly around the league, you could push a Sunday game to Monday if you need to, even a Tuesday. But I don't like penalizing those who are putting in the time and doing the work, and they're getting shafted here. I mean, did you see how angry the Pittsburgh players were on social media when the Ravens, all these guys started testing positive?
Yeah, I thought that was over the top and insensitive given where we are in this country and the surge and, you know, people out of work and people dying and they're belly aching about a football game, Jason. I can't get on board. I thought it came off looking very insensitive to people and very, look at us, we matter, it's all about us, we don't care what's happening. There's a surge going on. Do they understand what's happening in the country? This ain't about a damn football game. I thought it came off very, very insensitive to the masses.
I don't know that I could disagree with you more there, Rob.
Okay.
I mean, like, they're upset because the Baltimore Ravens ruined it for them. Not anybody else.
I get
else.
It.
It's
I get that part.
Baltimore.
But do you see what's happening in the country? Is all I'm asking you, Jason. Like, this isn't like everything else around the world and around this country has slowed down and things were great and you know, as far as the numbers going down. And then the Ravens were reckless and they did something. No, there's a surge happening everywhere. That's all I'm saying. Is it just sounds like big babies.
Okay,
that's
so
what it sounds like,
so
over
Rob,
a football
what do you
game.
Want, what do you want everything to do? You want to go full shutdown again?
No, I'm just saying you got to. Everything is fluid and you got to roll with it. You can't bellyache that you can't play a football game. That's all I'm saying. It just comes off on social media. If you could think about what you're putting out.
Isn't that what social media is for? Just bellyaching and whining and yelling at people and being angry? So Calais Campbell of the Ravens, I guess, you know, the league is pushing forward with this game. This just came down here in the last 10 minutes. Apparently, the NFL competition committee is adding roster flexibility, right? 16-man practice squads, unlimited IR. And they're saying, hey, we may just have to play. Calais Campbell says, we just want to contain this outbreak. Speaking from experience, you don't want to catch COVID. This virus is brutal. I pray no one else has to go through this. This is bigger than football. Which is echoing a lot of what you're saying.
Yes.
I'm not saying that this is not a big deal. Bro, I've been when we were at the Super Bowl together, Rob, right?
Yes.
Fox hosted the Super Bowl in January. And COVID was just starting to pop in, I believe it was Seattle. And I got nervous. I called my dad, who lives down there in Florida. I said, yo, Dad, I went to a couple stores. I can't find an N95 mask. Can you look for one? And he's in Fort Lauderdale. He drives to a bunch of stores, finds some at, like, Home Depot.
Wow.
Like 20 minutes later, away. I drive up to Lauderdale, get the N95 mask. I get gloves. And I go on the plane on the way back from the Super Bowl. And people were looking at me like I'm a nut job. Like, wait, you're wearing mask and a gloves on an airplane? And there were a couple other masks. And I just was like, I don't want to take a chance. I haven't flown since the middle of February, Rob. We went on a quick getaway after the football season. We do it every year. And we flew out to Cabo. And by the time we got back, it was like, all right, everything's headed toward a shutdown. And Rob, we're very serious about this.
Okay.
I mean, I don't mess around. I'm always wearing masks. We haven't been really in anybody's house. Nobody's been in our house. You know, we're doing our best job to stay safe out there. But we saw the NBA successful with the bubble. I don't. Can you get a bubble for the NFL playoffs, Rob? Can that happen?
That's a good question. Possibly, especially if you're not doing... fans aren't going to be a part of it. You know what I mean? If you can just say to yourself, we're going to take the L on the fans. I know that some teams have had fans or whatnot.
How many did the Cowboys have yesterday?
Did they have 25,000?
25, 30, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, people showed up, man. I give them credit. I went to the World Series in Dallas, you know, at the new stadium And I was there for, and they only had 12,000, and people all had their gloves on and their mask. I didn't have any issue, man. I thought it was well done. They took your temperature when you came in. You know what I mean, Jason? Like, it was well done.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com. Or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Rob and I have hosted plenty of shows together. Usually the first hour is smooth sailing, and then we start arguing about something.
Yes,
whether it's LeBron being the greatest of all time, Tom Brady being the greatest of all time. I don't know. Rob will find something to get angry about. But on one thing we agree. Rob and I grew up as journalists, right? Newspaper guys, and it's kind of an industry that's struggling a lot right now as the media landscape is shifting. Online journalism is a thing. And, we got a guest coming up right here who was at Bleacher Report, and he just launched a pretty cool long-form football journalism site. His name is Tyler Dunn. Ty, good morning, man. How are you?
Welcome to the show.
Good morning, fellas. Man, great to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. And, you know, I it's pretty clear reading your stuff. Really enjoy it. It's the site's golongtd.com. You know, Ty, I was digging into your Josh Allen story, and we just don't see that anymore. We don't see these long pieces where you can really sink your teeth into it and learn something because, you know, we've heard about the attention span of everybody and people click on outrageous stuff. They don't really click on smart stuff. I don't know. Talk to us about what your endeavor was and what you plan to do here.
No doubt, Jason. I mean, you just nailed it. I'm hoping that this is really a niche out there. I just seen where sports media, you know, in terms of the written word is going. Obviously, it's kind of going to 140 character bites, GIFs, memes, takes. That's where everything is kind of going, I guess, in 2020 and beyond. So just seeing that direction and wanting to, you know, maybe bet on myself a little bit and seeing others have success with this, it just seemed like the right timing. And I think it was the right timing, too, just at this point in my career, kind of covering this league for a little over a decade and having a lot of relationships from being at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel covering the Packers to the Bills at the Buffalo News and Bleach Report. Doing the whole NFL here as a features writer for four and a half years or so. I just thought I was like in a spot where I could kind of take this plunge into self-employment and just, you know, do these long-form stories, whether it's the inner workings of a team, like kind of like the Packers story we did at Bleacher Report a couple years ago, to in-depth profiles, sitting down with the guys. The reception has been unbelievable. I've been reaching out to a lot of players, and they're all about it. So just hoping to put this out there, and if folks want to get on board and subscribe and they like it, I think it's got a lot of potential. I'm hopeful.
I'm going to say I don't think that this is a bad idea from this standpoint, that 60 Minutes has been around since 1968, and it's long-form journalism on television that people always thought people had no attention span for. But if you do good stuff and you really dive into stuff that's interesting, people who like to read and are you know, interested in stuff, and all you need is a solid base of those people. You know what I mean? There's a lot of fringe people who just aren't going to be interested in it, and that's fine. It's not for everybody. But I think there's a place here. What's the game plan as far as you said people can subscribe? You know, how do people subscribe? How much does it cost? And then, you know, how often are you putting out these kind of pieces, you know what I mean, where people can actually chime in?
That's a great question. Definitely what I wrestled with, too. You know, how do you kind of make this work, you know, in terms of a publication? And they can subscribe right on the website. Like you said, it's golongtd.com on Substack's platform, which has just been fantastic to use. And right now our rate is $7 a month, you know, a couple cups of coffee, or $70 a year. And early on, I am opening up stories for free just so folks can kind of get a sense for the type of stories I'm going to do. Obviously, they can subscribe at any time. I'm not going to discourage that. But, just check us out. And if you like it, subscribe. You can get on the email list, free or paid, at any time. And in terms of the cadence of everything, I know this is what it's going to be. On Mondays, we are going to have some type of feature analysis wrap-up of everything you saw on Sundays. And then Wednesday, get into an extended Q&A with a current player, a former player, somebody who's just going to be honest and maybe say something really from the heart, say something they really believe. Thursday, we'll do a player profile, somebody that just has something interesting to say, has an interesting story that's different from the minutiae that you may get out there. And then Friday will be our signature piece. I think every Friday I want to put out something that hopefully has folks, you know, opening up and stop what they're doing and want to read it. So, it's a niche. It's not for everybody, maybe, that wants to, you know, click around on social media, but I'm hoping there's still folks out there.
I think there are. Let me, Jason, jump in again with I need you guys to do a full-blown interworkings piece on the pitiful Detroit Lions, who have won one playoff game since 1957. And what is the issue? You know, football's supposed to be about parity, and it doesn't take you long to go from worst to first. And you know what I mean? If you play your cards right. But there's got to be an interworking story about the Lions and why this thing hasn't worked for decades.
You know what? The Lions, to me, are just really similar to even the Vikings in the division, which we'll have a story on the Vikings coming out later today. But just a team that it's like you kind of can convince yourself that you're a contender, right? Like, I get it. The pressure to win now is so high, especially with Matt Patricia, Bob Quinn. You know, I think fans have been restless for a while, so they want to win now. So they take a cornerback first instead of a quarterback, which in retrospect, I think everybody would have to agree, right? You hit reset every possible way, coach, GM, quarterback. Sometimes it's best, and you know, every ownership group is kind of different with how they approach it. But in terms of the Vikings and the Lions, I looking back in retrospect, it would have been wise just to completely start over, because you can get caught into no man's land when you are 7-9, 6-10, and just the same problems keep coming up. And yeah, you got a Matt Stafford, yeah, you got a Kirk Cousins, you're going to win some games, but I don't know. It can be hard to look in the mirror and make that decision as an owner, but sometimes that the hardest decisions are the right decisions.
Ty, let me ask you this. So you had mentioned about the issues with journalism going forward. So I was in newspapers. I went to college. I was like, oh, I love newspapers. I had internships. By the time I got out of college, the internet had kind of popped. I spent like 2 or 3 years in newspapers and realized, like, listen, there's no money in this. I can't make a living wage off working in a newspaper. And I got into magazines and started the website, The Big Lead, and ended up selling it. Got kind of lucky there. But social media seems to have really changed things. Back in like 2005, 2006, social media was not a huge thing. Facebook was kind of on campuses. There was no Twitter yet. How much do you think social media has changed the journalism game? And do you think it's just too far gone that, you know, legacy magazines like Sports Illustrated and, you know, waking up to read the newspaper in the morning, that stuff is just over and it's all going to be online now?
It's funny hearing you say that, Jason, because I can remember being at Syracuse. This would have been 2009, and it was like a public speaking class. And I think for whatever we were doing that day, I was talking about Twitter and introducing what Twitter was to the class. And two people in like a class of 20 even knew what it was. A lot has changed in the decades since then. And I, to answer your question, it can be demoralizing. For somebody like myself, like you may believe too, as somebody who likes to read and consume information and content, it can be demoralizing. And it's just not, it's a free flow of takes, a free flow of gifs. It's just trying to be funny. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of folks on there who are funny and have things to say and joke around about. And before you know it, you're clicking around and you just wasted an hour, 2 hours, when, I don't know, a good story might take 20 minutes to read, 25 minutes to read. It can be kind of depressing that more people seem to be going toward the former when you think, like, you know, I don't want to sit down and read something. Well, you just wasted time just screwing around on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram. You're right. Are people waking up in the morning, buying a newspaper, pouring a cup of coffee, and just kind of reading it, you know, outside on the deck? Probably not. But I think there's still a lot of folks out there who, if it's good, if you build it and it's good, they'll come. If it's a good story and it's worth reading and it gets shared, and hey, that's where Twitter's amazing. I mean, you can share stuff that is good and it's going to reach a lot of folks, a lot of eyeballs. I still think people will sacrifice that time and view that time as worth it to read. So that's absolutely going to be the aim here. It's just try to tell stories that are worth your time. And like we had the other day with the Bills owner, Terry Pegula, coveting Patrick Mahomes, loving Patrick Mahomes, almost drafting Patrick Mahomes, and they didn't do it. And here they got Josh Allen, and there's a lot of pressure on him. I hope these are the kind of stories that the folks will want to read.
I still believe that there's a place for good journalism. I don't believe that, like, the New York Times, the LA Times, the Boston Globe, the Washington Post, great newspapers will always be around, just, Jason, in a different form. And as soon as they can figure out how to make money off the internet, and that's still what people are still trying to figure out, because even if you're on Twitter and people are giving away, yes, you might be reaching a lot of people and whatnot, but you're giving away your information and you're giving away, right, for no cost to most people. And until they can figure out how to monetize it, and they will figure it out. Because when I was in the newspaper business and the internet first started and they were giving away the newspaper online, back then I was like, I don't understand it. If this was a bakery and you're giving away the bread, we'll be out of business. How are you giving away, right, you know, your content? Because they thought the newspaper itself was the product, not the content. Do you know what I mean? That's what they thought was what was the product. So I think that there's room for good journalism and good luck, because I do believe there are people out there who want knowledge.
I appreciate it, man. I guess that's where Substack, I'm hoping, is ahead of the curve with, it's, you know, there's no advertising, there's really no corporate overlords, it's direct, you know, consumer, producer, you are giving the reader your stuff. If they like it, they'll pay for it. If they don't, they don't have to. And I kind of like that simplicity. So I really appreciate it, guys. Thanks for letting me spread the word here.
All right, Ty Dunn. Follow him on social media at TYDUNNE and sign up for his football long-form journalism Substack newsletter. It sounds awesome, Ty, and I'll be signing up today. Thanks a lot, man.
Awesome. Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, he's Tyler Dunn. Listen, Rob, you and I grew up on newspapers, man. I would remember my dad would wake up to go to work every morning. He had a government job, and he would leave at about, like, you know, 5:45, 6, and I would wake up at 6 o'clock. He would bring the newspaper in, and the first thing I would say was, hey, Dad, can I get the sports section? Right. And, Rob, you know what he would tell me every day? You know, Jason, you need to read more than just sports. I know you like sports. You play sports. And I was always reluctant. And, Rob, all I've done in the last 15 years I try to read books that are not sports.
Right.
Expand the knowledge. That's the one thing. I get these college kids DMing me on Instagram every week. Hey, Jason, how do you crack in? How the heck do you get ahead? And that's what I say. I say, listen, you got to read sports stuff, but also read non-sports. How much non-sports do you read?
No, I read non-sports. I'm into, you know me, I'm a world traveler. I love to know about the rest of the world, what's going on, things happening. But when I was a kid growing up in New York, I read 3 newspapers a day at 9 years old, Jason. I used to read the Daily News in the morning to school, the New York Post on the way home, and then I had a paper route. I delivered the Long Island Press when I was a kid. So I read 3 newspapers every day, cover to cover.
You know, one of the issues right now is that it feels like news has become politicized. If you're not on a side, you know, pick a side and go all in on that side, then people don't really want to read you. I think people, there's so many options out there, Rob, that people want to read what confirms their thoughts. You know, they don't want to read hey, this guy's right down the middle. They don't want that. They want what's on their side. I think that's a little troubling. Do you not think that?
Yes, because that's not where it's supposed to be, you know. But that's where we are. It doesn't mean we'll always be there. Things can change.
What the smart guys do? The smart thing to do, Rob, is, and I think this was in the book, The Art of War, Sun Tzu, is you have to know your opponent. And in sports, you can't just read your side. To get an appreciation for what the heck's going to happen, you've got to know both sides of the argument. Every lawyer who's ever been in a courtroom knows, okay, I know what I'm saying. I know to defend my guy. What are they going to say? So you've got to prepare for the other side.
I totally agree. I was probably one of the biggest Rush Limbaugh listeners. You know what I mean? I used to listen, even though I didn't, follow along with his politics. But I did want to hear both sides. I really did. And what was the buzz on the other side of the aisle? So I did listen. I don't want to hear anything that's different from what I believe in or saying. I think that's a crazy world.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Nice morning in Los Angeles. A little brisk, I would say, Rob. Have you been outside today?
No, but yeah, it looks a little brisk. Yeah. And even in the apartment, I had to slip on a little pullover. You know what I mean?
Were you rocking polo, a little Tommy Hilfiger?
Nike pullover. Yeah,
Rob loves to get outfitted by them. I only wear the stuff they send me. You know, I'm not buying their stuff. They don't need my money. But I will gladly wear the stuff they send me, Rob. You got any TB12 gear?
What was that, Jason?
You got any TB12 gear?
No TB12. Are you kidding?
All right, listen.
Does that come with Geritol or not? I'm just trying to figure it out.
He's not that old. He just needs to go to bed early.
Looks bad. So
let me set it up, okay? And I need to preface this by saying Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time, bar none. That is, there's no debate. There's no discussion. He has 6 rings. He's the best, okay? He has been very good this year when not facing top 10 defenses. It's pretty clear what the defenses are doing. The elite pass defenses know how to stop Brady. Against everyone else, he's shredding them, okay? Chuck it and duck it. Tom Brady is getting the job done. Now, his other problem between facing elite defenses is the night games, okay? We know Tom Brady does worse than Jay Leno in primetime, all right? We're talking about a guy who's 0-4 against the spread this year in primetime games. But the Chiefs game Sunday is at 4:25. It's not at night, Rob. I'm telling you right now, if you are a gambling man and you can stomach it, sometimes I like to say, you got to hold your nose and take some of these ugly underdogs. Nobody is going to be backing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this week. Absolutely nobody is putting their after-tax dollars on Tom Brady against Mahomes after what everybody saw on Monday night against the Rams, okay? The side this week, if you can stomach it, is Tom Brady and the Bucs. Chiefs are not a top 10 pass defense. They should move the ball. I don't know if they'll win, but I like Tom Brady to show up here. We know there's nobody better coming back after an outright loss than Tom Brady, all right?
Not against a good team, man.
The floor
is
yours. Fire when ready.
First of all, I want to call you out. If you're so all into Tom Brady, let's bet a pair of Jordans on this game. Would you want to do that?
Well, here's the thing. The Bucs are underdogs. I think they're getting 4 or 3.5. If you want to give me odds, I'll take
it. I'll bet you 2 pair of Jordans to 1, okay? If you win, I'll buy you two pair.
All right, so I all I got to do is take 3.5?
No, no, no. You got to win. You got to win the game.
Oh, come on. On the money line?
You got to win the game. I'm giving you two pair of Jordans to one.
Wow, it's real simple.
That tells me you don't believe in Tom Brady.
I believe him to cover the spread.
Oh, cover the spread. You expect them to lose by three? Is that what you're saying?
They're significant underdogs. While you continue to bash Brady, I will look online at some of the gambling shops and find out the money line price. But go ahead. Trash your guy Brady. Go ahead.
No,
take shots.
I don't even have to do it because Bruce Arians, the coach, has been doing it. And it's been great from the standpoint of not protecting this guy. They went and they bent over backwards for Tom Brady. They didn't bring Tom Brady to Tampa to just make the playoffs. This franchise hasn't made the playoffs in 12 years. When you bring in a dinosaur quarterback at 43 years old, you're bringing him in to go to the Super Bowl, to give yourself a chance to win a Super Bowl, not just to make the playoffs. And here's the other part. The teams he can't beat are the teams that are in the way. Jason, he's never made it to the Super Bowl as a wild card team and not winning the division. The only time they've ever won is when they've won the division. And here they are when they play the better teams. And even that Green Bay game. Green Bay was up 10-0 in Tampa, and then Aaron Rodgers had the bad day at the office with a couple of picks, and it just turned the whole game around, and Green Bay could never get back on track. But other than that, they've struggled against the better teams. And you're like, well, you know, Kansas City's not a top 10 defense or whatever against the pass. Did you watch Tom Brady? He can't even throw the ball downfield. And that's why Bruce Arians is like, we got to get better play from our quarterback. He's on an 0-for-22 streak of passes of more than 20 yards downfield. This isn't the dink and dunk life he was living with Bill Belichick, and then you can't be like, well, Bruce Arians is supposed to act like Bill Belichick. If Tom Brady wanted Bill Belichick, he should have stayed in New England. Bruce Arians is a different guy. Look at all the quarterbacks under his watch. All of them suffer from throwing picks because they all throw the ball downfield. Everybody thought, oh, you bring Brady in, all those picks by Jameis Winston will go away, and that team that won 7 games will win 12 or 13 with Tom Brady, and it would be a piece of cake. I get the schedule down the end. Looks pretty easy, and they should be able to compile some wins and make it to the playoffs. But you can't have any confidence right now in Tom Brady and this team beating the good teams that you need to beat in order to get to the Super Bowl. So I think Bruce Arians is spot on. Tom Brady right here, right now, is the weak link.
Tom Brady is the weak link.
He's the weak link for the Bucs. Okay. If you got better quarterback play, I don't know what their record would be.
Right, so they dumped Jameis Winston.
He has more picks this year than he had all of last year.
They dumped Jameis Winston to upgrade to Brady, and they're headed to the playoffs. That's an undeniable fact.
That's not why they got Tom Brady to just make the playoffs. You know that's not the case, Jason.
I would agree. But are you saying they definitely are not going to the Super Bowl?
Yes, I mean, just because they haven't beat the Saints,
understandable. They got embarrassed once, and the other game, first game of the season. Rob, I think you just got to step back your hatred from Belichick. Just take a quick step back.
There's no hatred. I don't know the man. What do you mean? I don't hate him.
All you do is bash Brady and Belichick, and I get that, okay? But Tom Brady left the Patriots, and where are they right now? They are hot garbage. They're not going to the playoffs. Tom Brady. Wait. Tom Brady leaves the Patriots. They are going downhill. You can make all the stock market jokes you want. They are done. The Patriots are toast because Brady's not there, okay? Brady goes to Tampa, and Tampa with Jameis Winston, number one pick, could not get to the playoffs. Tom Brady comes in. They're going to the playoffs. This is almost the exact same team. I don't get the hate for Brady. Yes, he has struggled at night, outlined definitely. He has struggled against top 10 defenses. Let me remind you, Rob Parker, this is a man in a new city, with new teammates, with a new head coach, with a new playbook. These are not excuses. These are facts. I think I'm going to give Tom Brady a little bit more time. Does he look washed? Yes, at times he has looked washed. Peyton Manning looked washed his final year in Denver. Remember that? Peyton Manning
yeah,
in Denver.
He didn't win the Super Bowl.
They said he was injured. They said he was injured, but you know it was really like, oh, we got to pull
this guy. He looked like the tin man in that Super Bowl, had about 100 yards.
And he got a Super Bowl ring. He won.
Yeah, but that defense is what won that Super Bowl. You know that. That had nothing to do with Peyton Manning. That was a parting gift for
his
career.
I agree, but a Super Bowl is a Super Bowl. Nobody's going to take Trent Dilfer's Super Bowl ring away because the Ravens and the running game and the defense won him the Super Bowl. He's a Super Bowl champ. He can go on the speaking circuit forever. So a ring is a ring is a ring.
Yeah, but I think you're really like glossing over. This is not just talking heads on television and radio talking about Tom Brady. This is Bruce Arians.
What
is
Bruce Arians coach? Bruce Arians, really good coach. He's won plenty. Okay, he won as a coordinator with the Steelers. He's a good quarterback coach. At some point, he's going to have to say, you know what, my style might have to be tweaked for Tom Brady. Because
no.
He's not the quarterback that can sling it 60 yards. He can't complete anything over 20 yards.
Why did Tom Brady agree to go to Tampa Bay knowing Bruce Arians? Did he do his due diligence?
Well,
did he do his homework? If Tom
what
Brady
were the other options? The
no,
Chargers?
No, I'm asking you. You know you why there were no
if
other
you were
options?
With the Chargers and Anthony Lynn.
Because I mean, nobody wanted to pay a 43-year-old quarterback on the downside that kind of money to give Tom Brady. I mean, Tom Brady's the only quarterback in the NFL, only player in the NFL who's getting a paycheck, Social Security, and his pension all at the same time.
Oh, God. You just love going in on Brady. Again, I'm going to cite the stats. 64% completions, 6.8 yards per attempt, 25 TDs, 9 interceptions. I mean, is he a top 10 quarterback in the league right now? I think you've got to make that case. This was a guy who, before the Saints game, 2 or 3 weeks ago, was this considered an MVP contender.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was. He
against
had 20
who?
Touchdowns.
Against who?
Well,
Jason,
is really
struggling.
I mean, if you remove those Saints games where he has 5 interceptions.
You can't remove those Saints games.
Again,
because
I'm just saying, if you take out the Saints games where he's been bad, the second one he was awful, in 9 games, he has 23 touchdowns and 4 interceptions in 9 games that aren't the Saints. Okay, he's been very good this year, Rob.
Nah,
with
not
the exception
against
the tough teams. Well, again, I'm just the
even
facts
that
don't
Packers,
lie.
Even the Packers win. Tom Brady had 160 yards. He wasn't great. The defense was outstanding.
Wait, what is yardage? Is there like a yardage?
No, I'm just telling
you.
It's not like he threw the ball all over the field and had 300 yards and 4 touchdowns. Tom Brady was set up on small. The defense got the ball. And he was 20 yards from the end zone, and he was able to facilitate that. That's all I'm saying. Jason, just be honest. He's not the same guy. And all the people who thought that you add Tom Brady, Antonio Brown.
Gronkowski, Antonio Brown.
And add Leonard Fournette and Stir and add Water, and they were going to win a championship. It just hasn't happened, and that's my point.
Well, of course it hasn't happened. We're not even in December. But are you saying that the Bucs are not right now Super Bowl contenders?
No, they're not Super Bowl. Not in the NFC. Absolutely not. Nope. I don't see it.
I totally disagree. I mean, name the 3 best teams in the NFC right now. Number 1 is the Saints. I'll give you that, right? Who's the second best team in the NFC?
The Packers are better than.
Oh, stop it. The Bucs murdered them. Murdered them. 38-10. Embarrassed
and
them. Next. Who's
and
better?
Wait a minute. And wait a minute. And Green Bay also went to New Orleans and beat the Saints.
This is true. They did.
On the road.
37-30 shootout. So you're saying all of a sudden they're the best team?
No, I didn't say they're the best team, but I'm just saying don't act as if the Packers haven't beaten anybody. The Saints have won 7 in a row. The Packers went to New Orleans and won on the road
I don't
in
think
a big
you, I
game.
Don't think, I don't neutral field right now, Gavin, you're a gambler. Who is Gavin, the producer here? Neutral field right now, who's favored, Packers or Bucks?
That is kind of tough, though, because the Buccaneers haven't been too great lately. I'd probably go Packers there.
Yes, thank
I'd probably
you, Gavin.
Do. I don't know. Jason, what do you think?
I think the Bucks are better.
Not
than
the
Packers.
Way the Bucks are playing right
this
now.
This is a Packers team that is a
Even the Bucks defense hasn't been that great.
I agree with Jason.
All right, so hold on. So we're 2-2 now. Right? I'll give you as number one, the Saints. We're split on Packers, so we'll pass on that one. Who else is definitely a Super Bowl contender over the Bucs in the NFC? If you say Seattle, we might have to shut down the show.
Well, I'm going to say, yes, you're looking at Seattle now. Wait a minute. Okay, but wait a minute.
You gave him the answer, Jason.
Wait a minute. No. But you got the Rams. I love where the Rams are now.
That's
the Rams are 7-3. They beat the Bucs in Tampa. So I'm going to put them over the Bucs. So there you go. And then if you want to just throw in Seattle just because of Russell Wilson and obviously their defense, and he struggled the last couple of weeks, but they were another team. So those are at least three or four teams, and I'll give the Bucs the advantage over. And you just told me how much you love Kyler Murray, and he's the guy that you would go forward with, but all of a sudden – at 6-4, you're not buying Kyler Murray.
Well, I mean, he's a second-year quarterback on a team. Quarterback. I mean, no. I can't say Kyler Murray's better than
Patrick
Tom Brady.
Mahomes was a second-year starter when he won the Super Bowl.
He also had Andy Reid as his head coach. Cliff Kingsbury in his second year as a coach. Come on, now that's no comparison. I like Kyler Murray a lot. They're a playoff team this year, but for you to just disregard Tampa because of a couple bad losses, just a reminder. Point differential, which is a pretty good indicator of how strong a team is. Saints, plus 73. Bucks, plus 67. That's close. That is very close.
Yes,
we're talking about a Saints team that went to the Raiders earlier this year and lost. Okay? We're talking about a Saints team that barely covered the spread against the Panthers, barely covered the spread, beating the Chargers and Justin Herbert by 3. I get it. The Saints are playing right now as good as anybody in the league. I think they will crush
Denver.
And their
defense, when you talk about that team, it ain't just about the quarterback. Their defense has given up, Jason, 25 points in their last three games.
Very strong.
That's 8 points a game, roughly. And when you're giving up that, it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. That's why Hill went in there. It was no problem. And they beat Atlanta, and they did what they had to do. But they get after the quarterback. They're playing really well. That's why they won 7 in a row. That team is a good team, and they're letting Drew Brees get himself back together. He won't be tired at the end. He should be fresh, ready to go, and they're going to make a run at the Super Bowl. Okay. I picked them to get to the Super Bowl, the Saints.
What is a successful season for Tom Brady and the Bucs this year?
To the Super Bowl.
Oh, God.
What?
Two teams make the Super Bowl. Really? This team that hasn't made the playoffs,
in
12 years.
Jason, there is no five-year plan. He's a 43-year-old quarterback who's on a two-year contract. This was about getting to the Super Bowl and trying to win it. He doesn't have 5 years
to
come up with a game plan. You're telling me if they get knocked out in the first round of the playoffs, that's a good year for them? Is that what you're telling me? You would
So you'll give him a pass if they lose the Super Bowl?
Yeah, if they lose the Super Bowl.
Okay,
absolutely.
Can we file that? Let's file that away. Rob Parker, if Brady loses the Super Bowl, it's okay. You're going to kill him, Rob.
But so I want you to know, are we betting on this game? Because I'm betting you two pair of Jordans.
We got another hour and a half. I need to let it marinate.
Oh,
it looks like the money line is if you bet $185 on Tampa, you will win. I need to look at it.
It's basically 2-1.
2-1.
I mean,
okay.
It really
He's
is.
Afraid, and that's what I just offered him, right?
I think the thing
Gavin,
is
Gavin, I offered him two pair of Jordans to one. That's what I offered.
And I know, but I can't cover the spread.
Yeah, but Rob, you get the best player in football.
And the better coach. Come on.
Bruce Arians has not been a great year for him.
Yeah, he's been rough. I mean, I love how Rob just totally gives Arians a pass. No big deal. I mean, goodness gracious. Like, Bruce Arians is not to blame at all for this. Bro, Rob, he got a 6-time Super Bowl winner, and he's ripping the guy in the media. If Tom Brady wanted to get ripped in the media, he would have stayed with Belichick in New England. I mean, all Belichick did was rip him. And by the way, I can't believe how you're not mentioning how the genius Bill Belichick is suddenly, 4-6, 4-7?
This is not a Belichick
segment.
Yeah, no We're talking
deal.
About
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady. What's
the record,
Tom
by the way,
Brady.
For the Patriots?
Patriots
Tom Brady
are
4-6. Patriots go down. Bucks sign Tom Brady. Bucks go up. Like, I mean, it's pretty clear how awesome this guy is. By the way, I don't think in NFL history any quarterback of 43 or older has started more than 6 games. Brady has beaten that, okay? He's been pretty damn good this year outside of a handful of games.
Yeah, right. The games that matter the most.
I'm
going to
give him
the
benefit of the doubt.
Outside of the good teams.
Now, just to be clear, we'll wrap up this segment. Two things can be true. You will agree, right, Rob, that Tom Brady can be the GOAT, which he is, and he has struggled mightily at times this season. Is that a factual statement?
The struggle part, yes. Joe Montana is the GOAT in my eyes. I'm sorry.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Back here on the Dan Patrick Show, he is out for Black Friday. And we decided to book a great guest here because we've been doing a lot of football. Let's welcome in former NFL coach June Jones. He is currently offering a coaching class on coachtube.com. Little run and shoot offense action. June Jones, how are you, man?
Yes.
Doing good.
Thanks for taking the time this morning to join us. I'm just curious, as a guy who played quarterback growing up, did a lot of coaching, can you just chime in real quick on the Dallas Cowboys decision by Mike McCarthy on Thanksgiving? Deep in his own end, down by four, to call a fake punt, end around. Baffling stuff from the Cowboys. Cowboys fans are outraged at McCarthy. He kind of won them back last week, beating the Vikings, and now he lost everybody again.
Yeah, that's a tough one. You know, obviously, if it works, we're all praising him. But I probably would feel a little different if it was 1 to 2 yards for the first down instead of 10. But obviously, they had talked about it. I saw the special teams coach McCarthy talking before it and talking after it. And, you know, it is what it is. It doesn't look pretty.
Talking about not looking pretty, Tom Brady throwing the ball more than 15 to 20 yards hasn't looked pretty either recently, June. What's going on there? Is this just Father Time? Is this Bruce Arians asking Tom Brady to do more than he's really capable? We know about the dinking and the dunking in New England, and Bruce Arians likes to air the ball out. Does Tom Brady have an arm to be able to do this?
Well, it's looking like Father Time is catching up. You know, I've been surprised by the size of the inaccuracy. You know, I mean, I've never seen Brady miss a guy by 20 yards, you know. And I know that he has, you know, trying to avoid guys in the pocket and so on and so forth, anticipating maybe more than he knows where they're going. But at the same time, the accuracy part of it is very concerning. And obviously, as a coach, you got to, you know, realize what's happening and make sure you do what your players can do. And if Bruce needs to adjust his game plans, then he needs to adjust his game plans to get him in the Super Bowl.
But let me ask you this, June. I want to follow up. Did Tom Brady maybe not do his due diligence when he decided to go down there? Because this is what Bruce Arians does. And I hear what you're saying about adjusting. But maybe Tom Brady, you know, you want to get away from Bill Belichick and do your own thing. But maybe he went to a guy where that's not the right fit for him, that maybe he picked the wrong place.
Well, I think the places were limited, and it certainly looked like a good place at the time. And obviously, it was a money-driven decision as well. And I don't think anybody was willing to offer Tom Brady the type of money that Tampa, you know, did. But at the same time, like I said, I see a lot of similarities to what Tampa is running on offense right now as to what Tom ran maybe four or five years ago, not the last season. He was with the Pats when they had people that could stretch the field a little bit more. So I don't see a whole lot of difference. A lot of the media is making it out to be a different system. You certainly call it different things, but a lot of you're not reinventing new plays just because he went from the Pats to Tampa Bay. He's run all those concepts before.
June Jones, former NFL coach. Let me ask you: we're seeing some new stuff defensively thrown at Patrick Mahomes of the Chiefs. He's lit the league on fire. in his first couple years as a starter. But what I love from Mahomes and Andy Reid, June, is that anything they throw at him, Mahomes doesn't get rattled. Like in the first meeting against the Raiders, you know, they led comfortably and they went zone heavy and Mahomes picked it apart. So what did they do in this next one? They tweaked things defensively and Mahomes said, okay, fine, I'm just going to go to the checkdowns. I'm going to do a lot of handoffs. How do you stop an offense like that? I know you're a great offensive mind, but I don't know how people shut down the Steelers. I don't know if the Steelers or anybody can shut down the Chiefs.
Well, I'm not sure anybody can right now either. I think the players they have on the field are electrifying. They have probably 4.3 speed at every spot, and even the tight end is one of the faster tight ends that can catching range that is pretty incredible. And you know, when you've run what Andy's been running, and a lot of the concepts are you know, Marcia Broda concepts, a lot of the concepts are run and shoot concepts. And obviously he has his own touch on it because of who he is. But I think they've seen everything. I mean, there's nothing the defense is going to throw at him that he hasn't seen at some point and knows how to direct the offense to efficiency.
June, what do you make of what happened down in Miami? Tua is a young quarterback. They gave him the job. A couple of weeks ago, everybody was ranting and raving about him. He has a bad half or a bad three quarters. They go back to Ryan Fitzpatrick. We already know what he is, a journeyman who's been around. He'll play well for a few weeks. You give him the keys to the car, and then he crashes it. Does that hurt a young quarterback's confidence, or can Tua shake it off?
Well, I don't know if you guys are aware, but I coached Tua in high school his junior year. And then I
did
coached
not know that.
At Maryland. So I know the family and I know the kid extremely well. I don't think anything can break down this kid mentally. He's as tough mentally as he is tough physically. I watched the game. I was a little bit surprised, even though I was rooting for him for the past 4 weeks, when they elected to start him over Ryan Fitzpatrick, because I thought Ryan had his best game when they sat him down. At the same time, I know they want to get a feel for, you know, Tua and see what he can do and what he can't do. I watched the Denver game, and he looked like a rookie quarterback to me in that game. You know, the knowingness where to go with the ball quickly when he got pressure, he didn't. It wasn't there, and they really protected him those first three games, as you guys watched. They moved him out of the pocket with bootlegs and naked. So he threw certain passes just when it was bump and run man. He was going to throw a fade, those type of things. Well, Denver really made him look like a rookie. And, you know, am I surprised if they're going back to Ryan Fitzpatrick? No, I'm not surprised because I think they feel they have a chance to win it and get into it. And now they have a feeling also about who Tua is for them. And if that time comes where they can insert him in a game to win a game, passing the ball, and be the guy at the end of the game, then they're going to go with him for good, I'm sure.
All right, June, I'll get you out of here on this one. My guy, Sam Darnold, you know, he's been up and down. The Jets just announced that it looks like he's going to be the starter this weekend against Miami. I'm just curious. Jets get the number one pick. We know they're taking Trevor Lawrence. But can we accurately judge what we've seen from Sam Darnold so far in his Jets career? Hasn't been great, but the head coaching changes, the offensive line, the skill position, nothing's been very good. Do you think there's a team out there that would look to buy low on Sam Darnold?
I'm sure there is. I'm a Sam Darnold fan, you know, not living in New York, and I know the pressure that's been on him since he got there. I watched him at USC. I coached his quarterback coach. I coached his head coach both out there, and I've talked extensively about him prior to the draft. And when I evaluated him, and I did evaluate him for some teams, I thought he might be one of the best ones SC's ever put out.
Woo.
And there's a lot of quarterbacks coming out of that deal. So I know that it has affected him, all the uncertainty, the instability in the front office, instability in which players are playing every week. I do think there is a lot of teams out there that feel like I do about Sam Darnold.
All right,
I want to ask you about about your website to tell everybody about this website and what they can get from it.
It was I was kind of doing it basically because Mouse is about Mouse Davis, who was the originator of Tiger Ellison back in the 50s, and then Mouse turned the running shoot into a pass offense. And we've talked to thousands of coaches, we've talked to people whenever they wanted to talk, but the intricacies of what we do is a lot different. And so we wanted to provide for the high school coaches and anybody that wanted to learn passing offense about the concepts and what we do. And so we created the website, and it's going very well, and we're gonna help a lot of coaches.
Great stuff, June Jones, former NFL coach. Check out his
website.
Can
you help Matt Patricia in Detroit?
Ah! Oh, sorry. Jeez, stop killing the guy, Rob. CoachTube.com. June Jones, congratulations on the site, and keep up the good work, man.
All right, thanks, guys. Aloha.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.